Now, you may benefit from this, but I need it. There's three verses in Philippians that I'll read. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What I'd like you to do is lift your heads and lift any of your hands that are hung down. And I'd like you to begin to praise the Lord however you enjoy praising Him. And don't be concerned about the person next to you. Just enter into a time of praise. Father, glory, 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 glory. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory to your name. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Over and over and over. Love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You may be seated. I've had two illegal attacks from the enemy in the last 12, 18 hours. The first one happened to be a dream. And it took me maybe a half an hour after I woke up. It was in the middle of the day. And I began to be angry. And tried to understand, asked the Holy Spirit, what give the enemy a right to give me that type of dream? And the Holy Spirit told me he didn't have a right, he just did it. And then this morning, pretty early, I woke up and there was what I would call a demonic presence in my room, and brought a feeling of discouragement, possibly worthless, possibly being late for anything and everything in my life, etc. I didn't see them. I just felt them almost completely occupy my soul, never my spirit. You all know those principles, you understand. You know, they're not going to go into your holy of holies. I mean, they don't. They're smarter than that to try to enter into your spirit. They're dumb, but still, they try to get away with anything they can. That's another time. But it was so real and so maybe thorough in what they were doing that it took me a little longer. I did get more mad. And they did. I dismissed them. I bound them, broke them, told them, get out of my house, etc. And they all left. And the Lord let me know that some of you are going through the same thing. I'm not saying everyone. I'm not exalting the devil at all. But we are in offensive warfare, and we need to begin to learn how to fight. And what you all did and what I did corporately was, I'm going to call us a battalion, or I'm going to call us a group of soldiers that took him on corporately and told him to go back to hell or wherever. You don't have to, you will not and should not bring an accusation against him. But you can always say, as the angels say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Be gone. So in my library of prophecies that I have, the Lord directed me to this one. And I would like to read it before we even begin to go wherever we're going to go this morning. This came forth February the 23rd, 2011. Your adventure in me has barely begun. I'm the Lord thy God. I will restore the joy of your salvation, for your adventure in me has barely begun. No matter how much adventure you think you have, Gary, or whoever, your adventure with him has barely begun. The ravings of the lunatic enemy, they bear no weight. Hearken unto me, and I will lead you into every victory. Every victory. Lift up your heads. Don't let them hang down. You are my joy, my crown, my treasure, my pearl. With great price I purchased you, and I will not forsake you now. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Lift up the feeble hands that hang down. Rejoice, I say. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. How many, since the first of the year and since the messages, how many do you feel as though that the, how many of you think the attack has increased? Isn't it good to know that you're strong enough that the Lord allows you to enter into more of the battle? Because we've already won. He is defeated, and He's counted you worthy to allow the enemy to come and attack you more in whatever way. For you to become stronger, He's just added a couple weights for you to work out in to defeat Him more. Second question. Since the first of the year, how many of you have found that you are having trouble sleeping like you once did? Let me see your hands. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand. Now, everyone that's standing and also everyone that's sitting, look around. Remember the picture. You may be seated. That is a subtle enemy attack. That is demonic. Not all of you have changed your eating habits. Not all of you are drinking more coffee or whatever your mind would tell you. You're different and you should accept this lack of sweet sleep. If he can steal your time, he will steal your life. And he will steal your promised land from you. And he has subtly come in. If I'd asked the same question in December, almost none of you would have stood. Some of you may have been under this attack a little longer. But you have authority over your sleep. You have authority over what your mind thinks while you're sleeping. Begin to use it. Don't take it for granted. He has illegitimately come and tried to destroy your strength and your peace and your awakeness. I met with someone and I were having a conversation yesterday. And they were saying all they want to do is sleep. Primarily the reason for that, primarily, is because you're not getting the rest that you need when you are sleeping because he has suddenly come and attacked. Okay? Another thing came up this week from someone that I think I should address, and that is we're doing a lot of talking, or we're doing some talking, about the message of fellowship and the seven foundational attributes of them. And if you've listened to the messages, you know the seven. I don't need to go through all those. And I ask what I called a trick question when I said, which one is the most important? Which one is the least important? And you knowing it was a trick question, you decided not to even try to answer because you wouldn't get the answer right. And what we were saying, or what I feel as though the Lord was saying, was the one that is most important to you is the one that the Lord wants to have fellowship with you right now. I heard of someone that has just recently entered into praise and worship, and it's changed their whole life. And they were very faithful to tongues. They were very faithful to meditating the Word. But the Holy Spirit chose to say, why don't you begin doing more praise and worship? And it changed their life. None of them can be done away with, or none of them can be ignored. Our pastor was introduced to the message of fellowship through tongues. Do you know how many years it took him to be introduced to the foundation stone of meditating the words? Do you know how many years it took him to enter in to praise and worship? How many years it took him to enter into confession? He was a forerunner, if you want to call it that. He took one step at a time. He didn't receive praise and worship at the same time he received praying in tongues. He didn't receive confession at the same time you and us, we got to get it all free. We got it delivered to us on a platter. We got it handed to us. We didn't have to walk through the same seasons, the same time that he had to. So now you have all of them, or at least all that's been identified thus far. And now you have love that's being poured on top of all of them to where you can grow much quicker. Much quicker if you do all of them as the Lord leads. I think it was, doesn't matter who the voice was, but it was one that you could trust that brought forth a word that said, in this last time, this time that we're in, that when the Lord birthed a new child into the body, into the family, that they were going to be birthed into their life in Him with a full set of teeth. Which to me is that they were going to have these foundational stones in their heart and in their mind to where they could eat meat much quicker. It's tremendous. Tremendous. I happened to be with Gary when we were having fellowship with some people, and he looked at the one individual and said, if I remember correctly, you're the first that I've met that has been introduced to the message, and you have a full set of teeth. And they had only known the Lord, or they had only known the message for less than 2 years. Okay, let's go to John 5. I believe I'm headed towards some things that you should consider and begin to do in regard to redeeming your time. But I'm going to begin in John 5. And once again, not taking it out of context, but I'm only going to read verse 19 and 20. Part of this is review, but it doesn't seem like the Holy Spirit considers it review when he says he wants it said. John 5, verse 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In the Amplified, it reads the following. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself or of his own accord, but if he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does is what the Son does, in the same way, in his turn. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to, shows him everything that he himself does, and he will disclose to him, let him see, greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. If you would take those two verses and remove the word Son and personalize it and put your name in it, that's who you are and that's how you're to walk. I'm going to read a part of The Art of Waiting on God again. The Art of Waiting on God has been lost in this generation. With not knowing how to wait on God, the life of Christ within every believer becomes the servant of the carnal mind within each believer. This is not the Father's will. This is not the Father's plan. To wait upon God is to spend time in my presence, the Holy Spirit. As I bring you his mind, your responsibility is to submit your will to his mind as I unfold the will of the Father unto you. As you yield your life unto the life of Christ, and his mind is revealed in you, you then step into the path of dominion. There is no path of dominion unless you do this. Works, yes, but not dominion. Not dominion. This is the path of anointing. This is the path of great blessings, says the Spirit of grace. To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and hear the mind of the Lord until you have received his counsel in completeness. At that point, you yield your will unto his mind. you can write these four things down. You go where I say go. You say what I tell you to say. You do what I say do. You act as I say act. As you conform to the mind of him who called you, then I perform all the Father's good pleasure as you walk in the steps of the mind of Christ. Think you it is the Father's will for his children to be guessing, wondering, assuming what is the mind of Christ for them each day? Think you that the Father has left them as orphans to find their own way through a world of darkness? No. He has not left you orphans. For this purpose, I, the Holy Spirit, have been sent to bring you the light of the counsel of the mind of Christ. There is no room for guessing. There is no reason for wondering. And there is no justification for assuming his will and his mind. There does not need to be any guesswork if we learn to wait. Waiting on the Lord is the hardest work you'll ever do. It brings the greatest amount of attack. Because once you have his mind and his will, the enemy already has put in a position of defeat and total destruction. I am the helper whom the Father has sent to revive you from all the things, says the Spirit of truth. I bring the mind of Christ in great detail for those who are willing to sit and wait upon their God until they receive the counsel, the specific will of the mind of Christ in every situation. From the Father's perspective, he sees the life of Christ within believers being directed by the will of man. By the mind of man and not by the mind of Christ Jesus. This was never his will. This was never his plan. What causes such an aberration as this? Not knowing the Comforter, who has come to be the guide, who has come to bring the counsel and to bring the mind of Christ to believers. Not having intimate fellowship and communion with me, myself, the Holy Spirit. The Father is pleased that you will humble yourself to sit and hear the voice of his Spirit as I bring unto you the mind of Christ for your life. It is better to do only one thing each day according to his mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. The one thing that I did today was have you praise and worship. I don't need to look for another one. I'm going to have others. But the freedom that came into your heart and into your mind that will most likely last the entire day, and the Holy Spirit will be able to bring that to your remembrance tomorrow or tonight when the enemy attacks, you'll go back to this point and you'll win easier than you would have won because you became humble and did it. Learn to wait upon God. I will not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. I will bring you the light of his counsel. And you shall walk as a man who walks in the light of day, where there is no occasion of stumbling, says the Spirit of grace. Above everything, at this point in your walk into your promised land, I would make that top priority of the seven. Unless the Holy Spirit overrides me. How many times have you made a mistake not waiting on the Lord? How many times have you made a mistake by waiting on the Lord? I would much rather wait and miss it and use that time that I'm waiting to have fellowship with Him than to go ahead and do it and still miss it. I've lost the time, and more importantly, I've lost the fellowship. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as He brings my mind to them. For His mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. The Comforter will take of His and show all things unto His brethren. If they will sit, listen, and hearken, as the Spirit brings the voice of Him who speaks from heaven to the earth. This was given when we all were in the wilderness, as we're saying it, in the time of hiddenness, in the time of doing the message and doing the message and doing the message. Almost no responsibility as we look at it. But now, as you all know, we've already crossed Jordan. We already have our feet standing in what we would call the promised land, which is the Father's will for your life. It is no longer a time of hiddenness. It's a time of manifestation. You've practiced hearing His voice all this time. Now you'll begin to hear His voice more clearly as to what He would have you do if you will sit and listen and wait. You might want to write this down. The Holy Spirit leads. The Lord Jesus and the Father, they all lead. They all take you by the hand and say, let's take a walk. Let's co-labor together. Demons drive you. Demons drive you. And whatever part of your soul that has not been restored by the Lord is a place for them to ignite your emotions, your fears, your anxiety, your lack of patience. Name them. They're all the way. They do not have any leading power. They are not after your best interest. They want to drive you. I'm going to read two more. Gary has a second service, so I can't go into any of his time, so I got to go pretty quick. Through our fellowship, all things are done. Co-laboring. Trust me so that you allow me to move through you comes by our fellowship. It also through this fellowship that you agree to my spirit, removing those things of the soul that rule you. Our kingdom excels through trust. And this trust comes as you know me and spend time with me by your spirit, by my spirit. Take the life of my son as an example. He knew me. He loved me. He fellowshipped with me. And he totally trusted me. He did nothing without me, and he did everything for me. His life was totally given over to me. There was not one part of his life or one moment of his life that was not lived for me. And in me, as he walked on this earth, he was devoted to me. This was the fruit of his fellowship with me. Every moment of fellowship with me, you grow closer to me and grow in your devotion to me as you live more by my life within you. Your life in me is in our fellowship together. Our life is a fellowship and only a fellowship, for it is in your union with me that I do all things. Win-win situation. Your fellowship is everything to me. Have I not said, is anything too hard for me? I am the God of the impossible. And even in all of this, know this. Know this one thing, says the Lord. When I begin to do notable miracles for you, notable miracles for you, always remember, it is your change as you grow closer to me that I rejoice in. For the miracles are nothing to me, but your fellowship is everything. Can you hear the Lord say that? Tim, you realize that your fellowship is everything to me. Nothing else matters. Do you hear him say that? Your fellowship. One-on-one. Your fellowship with him means everything. Everything. Your fellowship is the only thing. The only thing that he does not take, he receives it. What miracle do each one of us need today that we can do ourselves? And to him, it's nothing. To him, in compared to you giving him fellowship. He counts everything else as nothing. I was going to talk about grace, but we understand, or are learning to understand, that the true definition of grace is us allowing Him to do what He wants to do through us in the earth. You might want to write this one down. Grace is the power that enforces truth. Grace is the power that enforces truth. In that statement, do you realize that the devil and all of your enemies, they have no grace because they have no truth in them? Grace is the power that enforces truth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start with verse 14. And the reason I'm starting there is it's the verse that the Lord gave Gary when we began our trail of Ephesians for over a year. I'll read it. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That all has to do with your blueprint. That all has to do with those things that we've talked about, you possessing your own promised land. He will and is stealing all that he possibly can so that you never possess your promised land. And it is a one-on-one battle. Yes, others can pray for you, others can pray with you, others can share with you your blueprint and your vision. Others can encourage you to enter into, if hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. But really, the bottom line ends up, it's one-on-one. It's up to you to possess your promised land. And he has come. We know he's come to steal the word. We know if we don't understand it, if we don't receive it, and if we don't keep it, three-legged stool. If we don't do those three things, there's almost no hope. Now, I'm not speaking negative. I'm speaking in reality. That's our part. We have to give the Holy Spirit something to labor with us, and it's our part to do those things. I'm going to go to one of the things. These are not in priority. These are not in priority. One of the first things how the enemy will steal your time, and how you need to begin to redeem it, is that he will try to have you walk out beyond your anointing. Remember when we said that the demons drive you? He will try to get you to walk out beyond your anointing and beyond your growth. That comes in the form of self-exaltation. That comes in the form of pride. Now that's personal. That's one-on-one. The moment pride enters in, you become unteachable. I already know that. Have you ever talked with somebody and the Lord was speaking through you and they kept saying, I know that. I know that. I know that. Oh. And you step back inside of you and say, why am I wasting my time? They've already closed the door to what the Lord is saying through you. And you can't open that door. There was a book written some time ago of a vision of visions. And it was an army. And they were fully dressed. And they were fully equipped by the Lord. And they began to go into battle. And a group of them decided that they could go faster and go ahead. And they got out of ranks and were destroyed. And there was a demon sitting on the back of each one of them. And the name of that demon was pride, because he came up behind them and pushed them forward. We'll have to watch that. We'll all have to watch that. With what is already upon us. Already upon us. Let alone when more manifestation comes. Don't try to take a city by yourself. You know, that's part of why the Lord did to all of the Israelites when they crossed Jordan. And you know the story, you know the reality, what he did. With this one I'll read. This one I'd pay very close attention to, not that you haven't already. My reward system. My reward system. For do you think that I have a reward system that pertains to your mind and the way that you think, says the Lord? My reward system is not the way you think. Period. Hear what the Spirit would say. For a man can walk a short time with me and have a great reward. Another man can walk a long time with me and have little reward. It is not how long you serve me. It is what you're faithful with. And my reward is based on the less that person sees and the more faithful they are to me. The more faithful they are in the time of trouble, in the time of war, and the more they accomplish in my spirit, and the more that they serve me when others fall away. For hear what the Spirit would say. It is with these attributes that I carry my revivals and my glory. At times, there's only a few hanging on. Oh, the reward they'll have for not turning loose when all others turn loose. Great will be their reward. But tend your own backyard, says the Lord. Be faithful. Pull your own weeds and I'll bless you. I'll bless you, says the Lord. You'll see, for I'll have great things prepared for you. See you in 30 minutes.